Hello, am I on? Okay, great. All right, well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Youth Worship. It is so good to see everyone back here, and I miss all of you. I just came back from a holiday. I went to Australia. Apparently, I became darker. I don't know whether it's true or... Yeah, but really, it is so good to be back here with all of you. And it's nice to see some faces back here again. Nice to see some of you who have been back from overseas, you know, back here to be with us. And truly, I hope that you have a wonderful time with us. Well, this is the month of June, and you know, as we come to the end of the first half of the year, you know, I wonder how the first half has been for all of you. Right? I believe that it's been quite a busy first half for many of you. And June is a time of break for quite a number of you guys. You're at secondary school, JC, university as well. And I hope that you'll be able to use this time to really reflect, right? To reflect on the first half of the year, you know, to see the Lord's hand. And above all, to ask yourself, what is the Lord trying to teach you as you look back at the first half of the year? What are some of the lessons that you see yourself needing to learn? And to think about what is it that you want to bring into the second half of the year as we begin July in a short while's time. Really, and this is something which, you know, personally I've been doing, you know, as I had my holiday with my family. You know, it was not just a time of, you know, play, but it was really taking time to be with the Lord and just to reflect and to think through the first half of the year. To ask myself, what is it that the Lord wants me to learn and to consider as I look ahead at the second half of the year? So this is something for us to think about. You know, as we come for youth worship, you know, as we take time to be here, really, that is something that we want to consider. And so, yeah, make the best use of your time in June. Take time to reflect. And as we begin this time of worship, let us take time to hear the Lord's word as well. All right, let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, we come before you to thank you that we can be back in your house to worship you. And we thank you that we can be here together as a church. We recognize that you have been with us throughout the first half of the year. Your blessings, your protection upon us, upon Pastor, upon the church. And as we take stock of the year, this first half in this month of June, help us to take time to reflect, to consider, to prepare our hearts for worship, and to really see what are the lessons you want to speak to our hearts. We commit this time into your hands. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I realize that I prayed before the prelude. So we're going to have the prelude right now. Thank you. Well, today we are going to continue reading the scriptures, and we're going to continue looking at Deuteronomy 33. Now, I wonder how you have been taking time to learn this chapter. I must say it's not an easy chapter to study. It is one that can be quite complex. And sometimes, you know, when we look at chapters like these, at first glance, it almost feels as if this is not something very relevant for all of us. Right? It is a prayer of blessing upon the tribes of Israel. And it can almost feel as if this is specific for Israel and not something for us. But what we are seeking to do as we read Deuteronomy 33 is to look at the lessons that we can learn from this prayer of blessing that Moses made, and to ask ourselves, what is it that Moses understood about prayer? What is it that Moses understood about blessings? And for us to consider how this can be applicable to us. Right, so I hope that you look forward to learning again from Deuteronomy 33. All right, now I hand the time over to the chair people who will lead us in time of worship.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Youth Worship. My name is Yan Ning.
And I'm Jovan. This afternoon, the song that I've chosen to lead us in worship is How Great is Our God. And the reason why I chose this song is because of who the Lord is and what He has done. He is worthy of our praise and worship. You know, every time I get to attend a worship service, let alone lead, it's become so much more precious to me ever since I started my internship and experienced life with full-time work. You know, with the weekdays largely consumed by work and barely any time for myself, I find my weekends so much more precious. But having that dedicated time on the weekends just to focus on worshiping God brings so much renewal to me. But more importantly, every time I attend a worship service, it is just special to come before the Lord and sing songs to our great God and worship Him for who He is. You know, in His presence, all the cares and the tiredness of the week just dissipates. Reading from the Psalms of David, I see how David himself cultivated this spirit of praise in all the seasons of his life. And we can see this in Psalm 34, which we are reading right now in morning worship. He was reflecting on how God delivered him out of his fears, despite the worsening of his faith, pretending meekness in front of King Abimelech. And in reflecting on this incident, he was full of praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34, verse 1. On another favorite psalm of many, Psalm 18, where David was delivered from Saul, and praised the Lord. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Which is verse 3 of Psalm 18. You know, despite what David went through or anything that he went through, he did not praise God only in favorable circumstances, but trained himself to worship God no matter what he went through. And there are so many examples from the different psalms and songs he wrote of how he praises God. And that this is the heart that I am seeking to cultivate, that no matter what circumstances I face, I can choose to praise God, a great God who is worthy of all our praise. Like Pastor Eugene said, June marks the halfway point of the year. And as we look at the past 6 months and look forward to the next 6 months, let us learn how to cultivate this heart of praise that David had. Let us remember God's goodness, His protection, His faithfulness. And even in difficult seasons, let us learn to praise God because He remains worthy to be of our praise. A heart of praise doesn't come naturally, but it can come when it is cultivated, when we learn how to remember God for who He is and what He has done. And then we choose to praise Him. As we take this song together today, let us find our own reasons of praising the Lord and focus on our great God, who in every season, no matter what we go through, remains worthy to be praised. Let us take this song together.
Thank you all for your fine singing, and a big thank you to those who are supporting us in worship today. How have you been spending your June holidays? For me, one of the lessons that I'm learning to do is to honor the Lord with my time, even though I don't have June holidays anymore. In Psalm 39, verse 5 to 6, this psalm reminds us that life is a hand's breadth and our best state is fleeting like the vapor. With our time, what are some ways we can honor the Lord? We read of Moses' prayer in Psalm 90. This psalm is likely written towards the end of Moses' life. He reflects on the everlasting nature of God. He speaks of the Lord as the dwelling place in all generations since the beginning of time. And we have studied the Lord's faithfulness to his people through the book of Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy here at Youth Worship. Our brevity of life is contrasted with the eternal nature of God. And we read from what we have studied at Youth Worship that our sinfulness can incur the wrath of God. And we are far too easily destroyed if the Lord is angry. Some examples include the times when the children of Israel sinned against God at Massah and Meribah, and when they complained against God in Numbers 14. In light of God's everlasting nature and human frailty, Moses prays in Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The truth is that we have limited time in our hands. We have a choice to either receive the Lord's blessings when we seek the Lord by living wisely, or to live in labor and sorrow when we live foolishly in a path of sin. And living wisely requires us to make conscious decisions in how we want to live. And one of the ways in which we can live wisely is by learning to spend our time well. And this is especially relevant, especially for most of you who still have your June holidays. Do we devote time to gain wisdom by learning from God's word? Are we using our time to participate in activities that honor the Lord? In consciousness of God's everlasting nature and the eternal nature of his work, for myself, I want to spend my time well for the Lord. And this can look like carving an extra hour a week so that I can clean the Lord's house with some of you here. And also to clean the Lord's house without distractions. In my day-to-day interactions at work or at home, I am also conscious to choose the company and the conversations that I want to engage in. I may say no to dinner with my friends or colleagues during the week just to ensure that I can have enough time to prepare for the Lord's work. And like what Pastor Eugene challenged us earlier, one way that we can do so in the June holidays is to take time to reflect and take time to stocktake even as we move on into the new month of July. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 16 also challenges us. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we can seek to live carefully and conscientiously in practicing wisdom. The song that I have chosen today is Each Day I Live. It is an old new song, which I sang before at ISS, which was not too long ago, which I hope that we can enjoy singing together. But I like this song because it details how we can honour the Lord with each day that we live. We recall how the Lord has redeemed us from the ways of the world, which was once bound by sin and shame. Now, as the redeemed, we can live purposefully for him, safe in his grace, free from sin, and as the restored. And I hope that this song encourages you, even as we take this song together. Because this song is relatively new for most of us here, I would like to invite the praise singers up to take this song together. We'll be singing the first verse and first chorus first, after which once we are more familiar with the tune, we'll go and sing the verse 2 onwards.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we will be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 12 to 17. This passage is a continuation of Moses' final prayer for Israel, where he prays for the tribes of Benjamin and Joseph. Deuteronomy 33. Of Benjamin he said, "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, who shelters him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders."
And of Joseph he said, "Blessed of the Lord is his land, with the precious things of heaven, with the dew and the deep lying beneath, with the precious fruits of the sun, with the precious produce of the months, with the best things of the ancient mountains, with the precious things of the everlasting hills, with the precious things of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. His glory is like a firstborn bull, and his horns like the horns of the wild ox. Together with them, he shall push the peoples to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh."
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see everyone again this afternoon. Last week I was away, I was in Japan. So if you're wondering why I look same but a bit different, it's because this jacket is from Japan. You tell me whether I should wear it again, okay? But it was really heartwarming to follow online and to watch, to listen to the two chairmen from last week. There was Natalie and there was Joel. And I texted each of them to say it was wonderful to hear them speak of being able to serve the Lord humbly like that. And that is the spirit that I hope that they would carry for many years to come. But, you know, the experience of the junior camp, it still stays with me. It was so wonderful and so heartwarming to be able to serve alongside so many of you. From young to old, there were so many of you who wanted to share in this same spirit of service that is there. You know, and as I asked myself, what is one prayer that I can make for you this afternoon? And the prayer that I would like to make is this, that the Lord would raise you up. That it would not just be a single experience of serving one off like this, but it would become a part of you to be a servant of the Lord. That God will give to you a heart of love for him and for his house and for his people. And that will always be a part of you. But even as we pray this afternoon, we also have to bear in mind the lessons that we are learning from Deuteronomy 33. And there are many lessons for not just you, but all of us to learn about prayer. The first is that prayer is not nothing. And we pray because we believe that the Lord will hear. The second is that prayer is not everything either. Right? That all of us have lessons to learn. One is the part of the intercessor. That's our part. Whether we will consistently, faithfully pray for you, and we will know how to go about praying for you. But the second part, which is just as important, is actually your own part. And that's where the lessons of Deuteronomy 33 come in. If God were to raise you up one day, what would you first have to be? Where we can learn a lesson from the tribe of Levi. We can learn to be deeply devoted to God and his word. And if we were to pray, and if you were to do your part, and we seek God to bless, then you never know how bright the future can be for you and for each and every one of us. So that is why we pray, and that's why we must continue to persist in praying. Okay, that's what we're going to do right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you and we begin to realize that prayer is truly a wonderful privilege.
We pray very much this afternoon that you help us to learn the right lessons. You teach us what it means to be people who are devoted to you, and that in the years to come, you will teach us what it means to love you, to love your house, to love your people, and that from the midst of our young ones, you would raise up a whole new generation of people who would be there committed to know, to love you, to know you, to serve you in every way. We pray for this, and we ask that you would hear this prayer, reminding us again that we must be there to do our part, both as intercessors and as people who are being prayed for. We ask for your grace to be given. Give us hearts to receive yet another lesson this afternoon from Deuteronomy 33. Grant to us your grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you to the chair people, scripture readers, and to Pastor Ben for praying for us. And so today we're going to look at Deuteronomy 33 once again. And the two prayers we're going to look at concern the prayers for two sons of Israel, and the tribes that came from these two sons, and that is Benjamin and Joseph. Now, who are Benjamin and Joseph? They are the two sons that came from Rachel, and this is the most beloved wife of Jacob. And because she was the most beloved wife of Jacob, these two sons were the most beloved sons of Jacob. And so Benjamin and Joseph, they were the favorite sons of Jacob, and they were well loved by him above all the other sons. And we're going to look at this prayer, these two prayers that Moses made for these two tribes today. And you notice that the prayers for these two tribes, although they are brothers from the same mother, the prayers are actually vastly different. And this is where we're going to ask ourselves, what is it that we can learn as we observe these two prayers that Moses made? Now let's come to this one, the first one here in Deuteronomy 33, verse 12. And this is a prayer for Benjamin, right? And we see this, right? Verse 12, of Benjamin, he said. Now, before we look at the prayer, we got to first understand and appreciate who exactly is Benjamin. Who is Benjamin? Right, we know our two Benjamins, right? Pastor Ben Chong, Pastor Ben Kwa. But that's not the Benjamin of the Bible, right? That's where they got the names from. Who is Benjamin from the Old Testament? The son of Jacob. And Benjamin, the context for him is really that he was the youngest of all the sons of Jacob. He was the youngest of all of them. And in fact, he was probably younger than, he was much younger than the older sons of Jacob, most likely, right? He was the son of Jacob's old age. And usually when you are the youngest in your family, especially when you have 12 older brothers, your ranking in the family is probably quite small. Right, you're quite low on the totem pole in terms of your role and your clout, your sway. You know, you're just a follower. You're the youngest. You don't have much to say, to contribute. Your older brothers will definitely, they will trump you in everything. And so that was who who Benjamin was. He was the youngest of the siblings. And back then, in the Jewish family, the hierarchy of when you're born is important. And him being the youngest, you know, that was likely his place. You know, perhaps the smallest, the least significant of them all. You know, he didn't hold much of a position in his family, aside from being well loved by his father. And Benjamin was also someone who grew up with very difficult circumstances. Right? He was born without his mother. His mother passed away at the time of his birth. And so growing up, he didn't have his biological mother. And you can just imagine how difficult it must be, not growing up with your own mother. And as he grew a bit older, he lost his brother, Joseph. Joseph was taken away, was sold as a slave at 17. And so a large part of his childhood years, of his growing up years, he was without his biological mother, he was without his biological brother. And so it was quite a challenging circumstance for him. Now, this was how Benjamin started as a son. And later, when he became a tribe, the tribe of Benjamin was always seen as one of the smallest of tribes. Right? It was a tribe that, in terms of sizing, position, like number of people, it was always on the smaller side. In fact, later in 1 Samuel 9, when Samuel called Saul to become king, Saul's comment on the tribe of Benjamin, it was that it was the smallest of all the tribes. And so the tribe of Benjamin always held a position of being small, of being weak, of not being of much significance in any way. In fact, the prayer that Jacob made for Benjamin in Genesis 49, he called him a ravenous wolf. What's a ravenous wolf? It is someone who just wants to seek to take and take and take. And that was who Benjamin was. Now it is in this context that we look at this prayer right here that Moses made for Benjamin in verse 12. Of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, who shelters him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Now this is a prayer of blessing, of being able to dwell in the presence of God, that he can dwell in the presence of God, and in God's presence, there will come a special sense of protection. Dwell in safety, there will be God's shelter upon him all the day long. And not only would there be protection, but there's going to be proximity with God, a closeness with God, right? Dwelling between his shoulders. And that is a sense of closeness, of communion with God. It was a beautiful picture of what God can be for Benjamin. Now the question that we got to ask ourselves is, as we look at this prayer, as we think of the context of Benjamin, what is the significance of this prayer actually? And the significance of this prayer for Benjamin is very much this. You may be small, you may be humble, you may be weak, you may not be significant, but one of the greatest blessings that you can find in God is that you can have the presence of God to be with you. And in his presence, there's going to be protection. In his presence, there's going to be closeness. That when you're weak and you need help, God will be there to help you. He'll carry you between the shoulders. You know, the imagery is like a lamb on a shepherd's shoulders, or maybe a child on the father's shoulders. That is the blessing that Benjamin can look forward to. And this is a blessing that applies to all of us as well. You know, when we think of the blessings of God, when we think of what does it mean to be blessed by God, one of the most precious blessings that we can have is very much this, that we can be in the presence of God, to draw near to God, to have his protection there for us, to be sheltered by him, to dwell in safety by him. And this is even more precious when you think of yourself. You know, when you may be small, insignificant, you may not amount to much. Maybe you look at your life right now, you may not feel that you have much going for you. But what is it that you can have going for you? The presence of God being there in your life, protecting you, helping you to find a closeness that you don't need to face life on your own as you face the challenges of life by yourself. And this is so precious as we think of the context that we're living in this world right now. But the world that we live in is an increasingly challenging one, difficult, full of uncertainty, right? Many of you, you know, as you're studying, you know, you're wondering what will the future be like for you in a few years' time, right? Right now, we see how the market is being shaped and disrupted by AI. And many people are concerned about that, right? You know, what's AI going to be for us? You know, are we going to have any jobs left? You know, the job market right now is particularly bad for many fresh graduates. Right, so this year, one of the things that had happened in the US was how, you know, when the graduates graduate from universities, usually those prestigious universities like your Ivy League schools, they always invite your famous people to come and be their commencement speakers. Right, like, you know, they have CEOs of big tech, they'll come and speak to them. And one of the things that people are discovering this year is that the moment you mention AI, and you tell these graduates that they need AI, they're going to be met with a chorus of boos. Boo, you boo, you know, jeer. Some of them will even curse and say all kinds of things against these tech CEOs. And it's very funny when you watch these videos, right? The tech CEOs look shocked. Like, they're like, how come they're all jeering at me? I'm trying to help you here. And that's the landscape that's out there. The world that we are growing up in is uncertain. And many are afraid. They're not sure what's going to be like. And in such a world, when you are weak and you feel small, you feel humble, insignificant, you can almost feel as if it's very hard for you to succeed in this world. But what's one thing that we can have going for us? We have God in our life. We can have the presence of God to be with us. This prayer of blessing is not just confined for Benjamin, but it's one that's applicable for all of us as believers in the new covenant. In Christ, we can have access to God. And in His presence, we can find a sense of protection. We can find a sense of closeness. We can dwell in safety by Him. We don't need to fear what the future holds when we have God in our life. And this is a prayer of blessing that Moses had given to Benjamin right here. And this is such a precious thing that we too can speak of as believers of the Lord Jesus. And so this is a prayer for Benjamin right here, the prayer of blessing of his presence, his protection, his proximity. Now the question is that all there is to it when it comes to God's blessing? The next part that we're going to read from verse 13 onwards, it's going to show us that there's so much more that goes into God's blessing. And look at this in verse 13. Now, this concerns the tribe of Joseph, right? Joseph, we know who Joseph is, right? Many of us are familiar with his story, right? He was sold as a slave. He became a prisoner, rose up in prominence, became the right-hand man of Pharaoh. And from there, he saved his whole tribe. He saved his whole family and brought them into Egypt. And so it's a story that we are perhaps most familiar with among all the sons of Jacob. Now look at this prayer of blessing for Joseph right here. Verse 13. And this is a prayer that is really quite amazing. Right? Blessed of the Lord is his land, with the precious things of heaven, with the dew and the deep lying beneath. Right? Precious things of heaven, the dew that comes down from heaven, the rain, you know, the deep beneath, from heaven down to deep below, blessings to be poured out upon the tribes of Joseph, with the precious fruits of the sun, with the precious produce of the months, with the best things of the ancient mountains, with the precious things of the everlasting hills, with the precious things of the earth and all its fullness. And this is a prayer that is just so, I don't know, lavish. It is one that is so rich, it's bountiful. Right? It is one that talks about provision in many ways. Rain from heaven, crops bearing fruit, you know, produce coming up, you know, precious things from the mountains and the hills. And all these things are there given to the tribes of Joseph. You know, when I was preparing for this message, I was in Australia, and being in Australia just reminded me afresh of what I'm reading right here. Right? Australia is a place where, you know, they have much going for them. You know, the produce is great, the veggies are great, the livestock is great. They've got natural resources, beautiful mountains, wonderful hills. You know, my son loved Australia so much, right? He enjoyed the beef there. That towards the end of our trip, the last day, he said, "Papa, can we stay in Australia forever?" And I said, "No, we can't. Australia is a place where we have holiday. It is fun. It is nice. But you know, we are from Singapore. We belong to Singapore. We belong to Bethany." And then he said, "Oh, but you know, Perth has Bethel, right? We can go to Perth." I say, no, we're coming back to Singapore. You got to come back here. You got to do your homework, right? You cannot run away." And you know, these are the precious things that, you know, the land of, you know, the tribes of Joseph were going to experience provision in ways that are abundant and rich, right? Fruits, veggies, the minerals, the soil they're going to have, the mountains, the hills. earth and all its fullness. It was a prayer of blessing for all these things to be given to them. And then you go on to look at verse 17. His glory is like a firstborn bull. His horns like the horns of a wild ox. And this is a prayer of power, right? Firstborn bull representing the strength and might of the father, right? The glory of the firstborn bull, the might. Horn, symbol of power. The power of a wild ox. With these two things, to push out the peoples to the ends of the earth. And then, the prayer of posterity as well. Right? There's provision, there is power, there's posterity. Right? The tens of thousands of Ephraim, thousands of Manasseh. And so when you look at the prayer of Joseph, it is one that is just so extensive. You know, compared to the prayer of Benjamin, it is so rich. But what is special about this prayer for Joseph is found here in verse 16. Take a look at this. Verse 16 towards the second part. Let the blessing come on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who is separate from his brothers. Now, why is this special? Because this phrase right here was not an original phrase from Moses. This was a phrase that was taken from the prayer of Jacob for Joseph back in Genesis 49. Now take a look at this. Let's go back to Genesis 49 and you'll see this a bit more clearly. Genesis 49, verse 25 to 26. And you see the prayer that Jacob made for Joseph right here. Now, Joseph was the beloved son of Jacob, precious son. Among all the sons, Joseph was the most beloved. And you see the prayer that Jacob made, verse 25. By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above. Can you see the connection with Moses' prayer? Blessings of the deep that lies beneath. Same thing that Moses had said in Deuteronomy 33. Verse 26, the blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. Can you see the connection there? They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who is separate from his brothers. Now, this was a phrase that Moses took from Jacob's prayer for Joseph, and now he uses it and he extends that prayer here in Deuteronomy 33. Now, the question is, why? Why did he do that? Among all the tribes of Israel, Joseph was the only one that he took this prayer from Jacob. No other tribe did he quote from Jacob like this. Why did he take this prayer and make it for Joseph? We understand why Jacob would do it, right? Jacob loved Joseph. It was a very personal prayer from a father to his favorite son. But Moses is not Jacob. Moses is not the father to Joseph, or he loves Joseph like that. Moses was a spiritual leader of Israel, and his prayer for all the tribes of Israel always comes with spiritual significance. Why did Moses make this prayer like this? And that's because Moses understood the principle of blessing. God will bless the man who would live his life committed, faithful in honor of him. If you honor God with the life that you live, God will honor you with the blessings that he promises. This was a prayer for the tribes of Joseph in honor of who Joseph was. It was not because Ephraim and Manasseh were fantastic tribes, great tribes in any way. It was really because of the life that Joseph lived And through his life, that blessing flowed to his descendants right here. You see, this is a principle of blessing that Moses had come to understand. This is essentially Deuteronomy 28, isn't it? Blessings that are contingent upon obedience. If you obey God, you walk in his ways, you're faithful to him, God's blessings will come upon you and they'll overtake you richly, lavishly. And Moses was able to see this, that the blessings that are upon Ephraim and Manasseh right now were because of the life that Joseph lived. Can you imagine how amazing that is? That by one man, his life, the blessings of God can be poured out so richly that it will flow to his descendants like this. Why was Joseph's life so outstanding? Why was it so impressive that God would honor him like this? It was not just because he became the right-hand man of Pharaoh. It was because throughout all his life, from the time that he was being sold as a slave all the way to the end, he was committed to God, faithful to God. He never wavered in his faith in God. That was Joseph's example. When he faced the time where he was sold as a slave, 17 years old, same age as many of you right here, it was a really difficult time. Right? You just imagine how difficult it is. You be betrayed by your friends, you feel it already. He's betrayed by his own flesh and blood. The very people whom he trusted as his brothers, they betrayed him, sold him. You know, how would you respond if you were him? You know, quit life, get upset, you know, blame God, quit your faith. Not Joseph. Though he was sold, though it was difficult, though it was really painful for him, he continued to be faithful to God. He trusted God, he held on to his faith, he sought to live his life well for God, even as a slave. And that's what made him become so significant in Potiphar's house. Same thing that happened when he was wrongly accused of taking advantage of Potiphar's wife. Thrown to prison for nothing. He could have gone that way of saying, blaming God, you know, quitting his faith, saying that God did not show up for him. But he did not. He remained faithful to God all the way. He didn't give up on his faith in God. When he was elevated to the status of the right-hand man of Pharaoh, when he had all the power and wealth in his hand, he did not let the riches of this world corrupt him. He remained faithful to God. He knew his purpose. It was not to be rich and powerful. It was to use his power to save the lives of many, especially to save the tribe of Israel. All the way to the end, from the start to the end, Joseph was faithful and committed to God. His faith never wavered one bit. This is why God honored Joseph by blessing his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, to become the tribes of Israel. And these two tribes were not just going to become the tribes of Israel, they were going to become significant tribes in time to come. Moses saw the potential in them. Together combined, they were the largest tribe among all the sons of Israel at this point. And in time to come, they will grow to become a great tribe. Ephraim will become the dominant tribe in the northern kingdom of Israel, so dominant that the name of Ephraim will be synonymous with Israel. Manasseh will become so great that he will split East Manasseh, West Manasseh. No other tribe had that. All this because God saw and he remembered Joseph's life. And the blessings upon Joseph didn't just stop at his life. It continued to flow all the way to his descendants for the generations to come. That is the extensiveness, the richness of God's blessing for his people. Now, as we come to the end of our message here, as you look at these two prayers, what is it that we can learn from this text right here? then there are three things that we can really learn from this text. One, the potential of blessing. God is a God who desires to bless. He wants to bless. He has so much blessing that he wants to give to us. God is not an austere God who just, you know, wants to take from you and doesn't want to give you anything. That's not who God is. He's a God that wants to pour out his blessings upon you in such a marvelous way. The potential is there. But what is the principle? The principle, as we have been learning the last few weeks, is this. If you were to live your life committed to God, faithful to God, devoted to God, therein is how you can experience the richness of God's blessings in your life. This is a principle that still stands today for us in the New Covenant. God desires to bless. God wants to bless. We can experience God's blessings in a wonderful way. But where does it really begin? How do we find that blessing? You got to do your part. You got to do your part to cultivate your faith, to cultivate your character, cultivate your conduct, to stay committed to God even if you go through difficult times in life. You think about it. You think of how Joseph, his example of how he lived his life. It's truly amazing. From the time he was 17 to the time he became right-hand man, it was 13 years. 17 to 30 years old. Hardship after hardship. Suffering and pain and toil and all these things that are there. Yet he did not waver in his faith in God. For us, we go through one incident, some friendship problem, some school problem, some issue that's there, and then we get discouraged and we feel that God's not showing up for us. Look at Joseph. 13 years committed to God, faithful to God all the way. That's why he was able to experience God's blessings in such a rich way. And this is something for us to think about, right? Where you guys are at your life right now, you may be young people, but can God bless your life richly? Yes. You may feel small, you may feel insignificant, you may feel like you have nothing much going for you compared to your peers. But can your life be blessed? Yes. But what does it take? It's not a passive thing. God, please bless me. I'm sitting here waiting for you to bless me. I'm doing nothing now. I'm just under a tree waiting for you to bless me. It doesn't work that way. You got to do your part. If you really want to experience God's blessings in your life, you got to do your part to cultivate your life, your faith, your commitment, your faithfulness. Because it is only when you are committed to God in such a manner that the fullness of God's blessings can be poured out in your life. This is a principle that stands true. You know, whether we look at our church today, we look at individuals, we look at great heroes of faith, that's a principle that stands. To the man who will honor God, God will honor him with great blessings. And this is something that all of us have the potential to experience if we were to live our life for God. Right? Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. How does it work? You seek God first. You seek his kingdom first. You make him first place in your life. You stay true to him even as you go through the difficulties in your life. And that's how God will bless and provide all these things for you. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to give you the exact same blessing that he gave to Joseph, right? Please don't go to Bukit Timah Hill and tell God, God, everlasting hill, I want this hill, right? It's not going to work that way. The blessing we speak of is not material. It's not money. It's spiritual. Blessings that are found in the spiritual realm. Blessings that go beyond what you can imagine. Can that be yours? If you were to live your life to honor God the way Joseph did. And so this is a challenge for all of us to consider as I look at my own life, right? You know, I look back at my life, right, as a Christian, not as a pastor, but as a Christian. 16 years I've been a Christian. And I'll say these are the best years of my life because I've come to experience God's blessings as a Christian. But I know that there's so much more to experience in God's blessings. What is my part to play? It is to be committed to Him, to be faithful to Him, to live my life to honor Him the way the heroes of faith did before me. Because it is only when I can learn to do this that the fullness of God's blessings can be poured out in my own life. This is something for all of you to be able to experience as well. And so the challenge really, as you come to the end of the first half of 2026, maybe you look at your life right now, maybe you look at the first half and you just feel that, you know what, it could have been a wasted half. You know, maybe you have not really sought the Lord, maybe you have backslidden in your faith, maybe you have not been as diligent in following God as you wish you, as you said you wanted to at the start of the year. But it need not be that way for the rest of the year. First half coming to an end right now. As you begin the second half of the year, what are you going to do? What is the Lord laying on your heart to consider? If you were to honor Him with your life, if you were to seek Him first, if you were to remain committed and true to Him all the days of your life, watch how God will bless you wonderfully. And so this is something for us to think about, to ponder over, right? Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, we come before You this afternoon, thanking You that You are a God who desires to bless. You are a God who desires to pour out Your blessings in our life in such a lavish way, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Father, we recognize that potential is there, but it is bound by Your principle of blessing. That blessing is contingent upon obedience, upon seeking You first, upon being faithful to You and being committed to You. And as we look at the example of Joseph, how he lived his life in honor of You, and how You blessed him so richly, we pray that our hearts will be inspired to follow in His footsteps, to do our part to live our lives well for You as we approach the second half of this year. We pray and ask for Your blessing be with us. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. All right, thank you. And I hope that you take time to ponder over this lesson. Take time to review Deuteronomy 33. Sometimes there's just a lot of details that go inside. And the best ways to be able to synthesize it, to be able to understand it, is by going back to review them. So I hope that this lesson will be something that you take time to think about. And really, let's really seek the Lord. And let us live our lives in commitment to Him. Well, take care and God bless. Have a good day ahead.